Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amendori, and we're going to be talking today with someone who hasn't been on the show for some time, but somebody who's really educated us at the right times in cryptocurrency. And obviously, we've been in it from a very early time, covering it here at Crush the Street. I'm very grateful. I know a lot of people have this negative bias towards crypto. You know, there's certain gold bugs out there, certain people who really hate cryptocurrencies. And it's interesting. You know, it's hard to have a negative opinion about it for me because I'm tainted. I've made money in it. And a lot of the people who've listened to the show have made money getting in early as well. So despite whatever happens going forward here, I'll forever have that bias just because of that reason. So I guess I'm a little tainted from that perspective. But we're going to be having a discussion today with Node Investor. He's got a great YouTube channel. He's got a training course on his website, nodeinvestor.com. And, you know, cryptocurrencies here are going to be, you know, a survival of the fittest in this environment where we're seeing this pandemic triggering this depression. Sure, the economy is starting to come back, but certain things need to get flushed through the system. I personally have a few tenants who aren't paying their rent right now. And for many landlords, this is going to mean losing their homes over time or losing their assets. And ultimately, renters can't live in these homes rent-free forever. And all of these things are going to trickle into the auto industry, Home Depot, luxury businesses, and down the line, right? The ripple effects. And so not to be overly negative to start this interview, you know, I can't just assume that this reopening of the economy is going to be that easy and just V-shaped back to equal and opposite of what we've had. So many things to discuss today. We got the economy, we got cryptocurrencies, we got precious metals, and I have on the line Node Investor, and I appreciate him taking the time with me today. So Node, thanks for coming on the show with me today.
Hey, what's up, Kenneth? Pleasure to be here. I really appreciate you having me.
Well, let's, you know, there's so many places to start. You know, you got a proprietary trading indicator, which I want to discuss here in this interview as well. I didn't mention that in the introduction. But let's start off with Bitcoin. The biggest news we have coming up is the halving. I mean, this is going to be a significant event. I mean, and already it's been, because if history rhymes, in this moment, we should be looking at a pretty significant move in cryptos here going forward, starting with Bitcoin and it trickling throughout the rest of the community. But the caveat is that the whole world is expecting this to be a big event. So that's right. My question to you, is it priced in? What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the short answer is, I think we'll see a little bit of a pullback first, but in the long run, I think it's very bullish for Bitcoin. I've been a long proponent of the biggest thing that Bitcoin has going for it, similar to gold, is its supply structure, right? And the inflation curve of Bitcoin is starting to flatten out, right? In its 10-year history, it's been pretty steep, right? We went from, you know, zero Bitcoin to 18 million plus Bitcoin just here in the last 10 years. But that puts it at around 87% of all Bitcoin that will ever be in existence have already been mined. And so as that supply curve starts to flatten out with the insane unlimited QE and the shift that we're seeing in the fiat currency structures, there's just really only one, you know, simple economic scenario, right? Supply demand fundamentals. If people want more Bitcoin, they're going to have to push the price higher, right? And if the big money crowd and government and central banks even put a tiny percentage of the reserves towards cryptos and Bitcoin, then it's just a natural occurrence. And with the halving coming up, what essentially happens is now the miners are going to be receiving less rewards, meaning less Bitcoin being created for every block that's mined, right? There's a new block every 10 minutes for your listeners who aren't aware at the moment. And so that block reward is going to be decreasing, right? And it gets cut in half every time. And so it goes, you know, from 25 to 12.5, and it's going to go eventually to 6.5 coins per block. And so the amount of new Bitcoin being sold onto the market, because the miners have to sell it to make up for their costs, the amount of new Bitcoin being pushed onto the market will start to dwindle. And these happenings are big events. You know, they don't happen very often. They're a big event. And yeah, history has shown that post-halving, there is a significant percentage size move in the price of Bitcoin. I think we'll see that again. But what I don't expect is the crazy percentage type of moves that we've seen in the last two, right? The price was coming from, you know, single digit dollars the first time, and it went up to, you know, 1,000+. And then the second time went from that to, you know, $600 to 20,000. I don't expect we're going to go from, you know, 8,000 Bitcoin, 9,000 Bitcoin to, you know, the million that people are talking about. That's just not in my my expectation right now. But will it be a double, a triple, a quadruple? Certainly, absolutely could.
Sure. Well, and I think that's a big question for a lot of people. And, you know, this has become such an anticipated event. And in this environment where we've seen a lot of destruction of wealth with the economy coming to an absolute grind, it's a real test for cryptocurrencies in this environment. And I want to just acknowledge the elephant in the room, and that is we've seen cryptos move with the stock market green, crypto's green, stock market red, crypto's red, you know, over the last little while here, while we're in this pandemic, this stock market volatility. And I just want to get your thoughts on that. I know a lot of people are being bothered by that. You know, they got into cryptos because it is inversely correlated or non-correlated for that matter to the markets. That was at least the idea. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, exactly right. So initially the thought was, hey, crypto is this safe haven, decentralized kind of anti-currency, right? Non-influenced by the broader markets. And it was a big surprise. And I think even in the crypto community, people were pretty negative about that, right? They were very concerned that Bitcoin, quote unquote, failed the test. You know, we had this huge liquidity event when reality hit in the United States that, you know, the shutdown's going to have a huge impact. And it was just kind of a panic across the board. I mean, everything got hit, right? I mean, who would have thought oil futures would have gone negative? I mean, just the insanity, the unprecedented events that we've seen. But what I want to point out is Bitcoin has fully recovered from the price drop pre-panic, right? It was trading right around that 9K. It had already started to pull back a little bit, but it was trading right around that 9K, and it's basically right back to that. So the bounce back has been incredibly bullish in terms of how strong and how resilient it was. And the challenge with crypto in general is the general lack of liquidity across the board, right? I mean, yes, it's a big market from a market cap percentage, but when you actually look at the daily trading volumes, they have grown, but it's not anywhere near as liquid as, say, trading Apple stock or some of those big institutional type names or even gold, right? And so that's still out there. It's very fragmented. There's a lot of exchanges, but it's still kind of not, and I don't want to use this term, but not centralized in terms of the market, right? Where there's not a NASDAQ or a, you know, a commodity exchange per se. And that's because of the nature of the way it is. It trades more like a Forex market, right? The Forex exchange, for example, has, you know, tons of brokers and tons of kind of exchanges that it goes through. It's very similar to that. And so I think what we saw here in this recent event was a liquidity event in terms of people are trying to sell, and that tends to see drastic moves both up and down in the crypto space when you have these panics, either FOMO buying, massive short squeezes that push the price up 40%, you know, in a couple of days, to the inverse where it's just kind of a, there's no buyers in sight and people want to sell and stop losses are being triggered, and it just feeds on itself. And unfortunately, you know, what tends to happen is the, you know, the retail investor gets shaken out, and the institutionals who are trading futures and options are making a ton of money on those sells, and then they're buying back in at the lows.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's a time for us to just reflect. I mean, and you brought up an amazing point, and that is crypto has essentially recovered from its pre-pandemic prices, which is a powerful thing. And like we were discussing before the interview here, now Let's talk a little bit about the stock market, because I think this is important, because I know on paper, fundamentally, you know, we are coming to an economic grind, and you know, the airline industry, the cruise industry, so many things need to get flushed through. But the caveat to that is that we have the government printing trillions of dollars to sustain these industries. So to that extent, is it possible for stocks to stay elevated in dollar terms because of the injection of liquidity? And are you comfortable feeling that the bottom might have already been in stocks? I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. They want to, you know, people to come on the show and say, "Oh, stocks are going to 5,000, you know, dollars. Dow Jones 5,000, Dow Jones 10,000." Sure. But you know, the fact is we got trillions of dollars being thrown at the markets. So in dollar terms, I feel like stocks could stay where they're at or hover around here. I mean, obviously volatility wouldn't surprise me if we go down 10% or more, but at this, in this environment, you know, you almost don't want to be in cash. You know, you want to have crypto, you want to have precious metals, you want to maybe even have some stocks in this environment.
Yeah, that's a great question. And historically speaking, yes, the stock market will do well when there's just extra money being printed, right? And people like to point at fundamentals. They like to point at, oh, the valuations of stocks and they're overvalued. Well, they've been overvalued for the last, you know, 6 years by historical measures, and yet they keep going up and up and up and up. And we all know why, right? The money printing, the cost of borrowing has been reduced. And so when you look at the models that are used for some of these things, they've been dislocated because of the unprecedented measures being taken by central banks, negative interest rates, all of that stuff. And it certainly comes to play a factor. What makes stocks so different from things like cryptos and gold is the fact that they're essentially representations of business, not purely, again, right? There's still other factors, macro factors, cost of borrowing, all that, but they're business models. And so at this point, we're seeing a big seismic shift. And you see things like AMD and Amazon and Walmart, and their stocks are almost at new high grounds here. And then on the flip side, yes, the travel and leisure, right? The hotels, the airlines, the cruise lines, I mean, just there's no, you know, I don't think they've hit bottom. The most likely some of those will file bankruptcy. So it's become a split market. I think we have shifted from this mode that we've been in for the last 10 years where it's just stay long stocks. We're in this bull market, keep going. I think you got to be a little bit more judicious now. My personal opinion, and again, I hope I'm wrong here, but my personal opinion is the low that we saw here, the panic low, was not the low. I think we've seen the quick drop. We're seeing the nice bounce. And what I expect will happen now is this slow grind, not the quick drop again, but it's going to kind of just be this drop. People are going to say, oh, it's a higher low. We're bouncing and we will bounce a little bit. Then it'll just kind of roll over, and just over the next maybe 6, 8, 12 months, we'll just grind, and then eventually we'll undercut the lows that we saw in March. And then you, at that point, might get that secondary panic drop, which might be that climactic washout, which finally sets the bottom. That's my expectation, just because the economic damage that has been done from this shutdown, it's going to take a long time to recover. If they open everything up tomorrow, there's just been a huge impact, huge blow to the economy. I just don't see it going back to normal. I'm not in the V-shaped recovery camp. I truly hope I'm wrong. I hope this whole thing blows over, and by the end of 2020, we're looking back at it and saying, wow, what happened, right? That'd be great. I'm just not that optimistic right now.
Well, and I'm with you. I mean, I think it's very possible. And that's what I think people need to understand, is that nobody truly knows exactly how this is going to play out. But one thing I do expect is, I feel like the Fed's going to fight this tooth and nail. If we do see a 10% correction, you know, they'll probably throw trillions of dollars more at the economy, you know, at the markets. And I'm not saying it's going to be fundamental, but I think it's going to be more, it's going to fall into the hands of a dollar crisis over time. And it may not just be like a massive hyperinflation sort of thing, but inflation over time is going to be an issue. in my opinion. And so, but I think what you're saying is very possible, very valid, which is why you need to be across the board and own some crypto and own some precious metals. So before we get into crypto a little more, talk to us about your thoughts on precious metals in this environment. Has gold and silver performed the way you would have expected them to during this pandemic crisis?
Gold has, and traditionally gold is the anti-dollar, right? It's kind of, if you look at a long-term chart, it does very good at trading inversely to the macro Forex markets, right? And so it has, and we're talking $1,700 gold here. My target for gold has been 1,800 for a while now. And the thing is with gold, it was already on the move prior to this panic, right? It broke out from this massive inverse head and shoulder structure, multi-year base that was being set. And, you know, last summer around June of 2019 is when it started to go on this big move. And so I've been bullish on gold since then anyway. And it was interesting to see that during the panic in March, gold also fell. I mean, gold went from $1,700 down to almost, you know, $1,450 or something. And it, again, it's fully recovered and it's actually higher than where it was pre-panic. And so gold has done a good job. Silver, on the other hand, it's, you know, it's not that people historically people have looked at silver as like the poor man's gold, right? At one point it did have a monetary function, but in my personal opinion, silver is very much more of an industrial metal these days. And so I don't expect it to do as well in an economic contraction as gold would, because gold truly is that safe haven. Much like cryptos right now, I think Bitcoin would be that quote unquote safe haven crypto. And many of the others, I view them very much like startups, and some of them may not do very well, even if the rest of the crypto market does well. And so I think gold's doing well. I think it's doing its job. But again, it's very much kind of the, you know, the safe haven play. But in the near term, it's going up with the dollar, but the dollar's just kind of in a holding pattern. It had these weird gyrations during March. It dropped and then it popped. And again, that's because of how it trades versus the euro and the yen. And there's just so many moving pieces in play. It's fascinating to watch it all kind of coordinate. But there really are a lot of moving pieces right now.
Right. Well, let's circle back to Bitcoin here in this environment. You know, you mentioned you wouldn't be surprised if we see a double and triple going forward here. What is the reason for that? You know, talk to us about why you see that happening. And also, it mentioned your trading indicator. Not sure if that's what you're using for this or if it's just a more fundamental thing that you see happening and in this environment.
So, yeah, so let's take a step back here and just kind of look at history. So I initially came, my very early years of trading and investing, I started off as a gold bug. You know, I was kind of brought up in the camp of, oh my God, the hyperinflation and the dollar and they're destroying it. And this, again, keep in mind, was pre-2008 crisis, right? This was like early 2000s. And we all thought, you know, during the 2009 inflation, QE, Bernanke dropping helicopter money, that was going to send, you know, gold, that was going to be this melt up. It never happened, right? And then, you know, now it's come back and people are in that. But I understand the mentality of, oh, you know, gold's going to go to $10,000 and Bitcoin's going to go to $1 million, right? And the thing I want to point out is I view gold and Bitcoin from that scenario as a insurance policy, right? The only reason, in my opinion, that it would ever do that is if there was a massive dollar crisis, right? Apart from that, I am not in the $1 million Bitcoin camp. And let's be realistic. If that's the only way Bitcoin's going to get to $1 million, we probably all don't want that to happen because that would just be massively disruptive. And the average person, even if they owned a little bit of Bitcoin, just not, they'd be way worse off than they are today. My personal opinion. Now, that being said, Bitcoin does provide some very valuable utility in terms of, hey, it is decentralized. You can transfer massive amounts of value very quickly without these intermediaries, and you could just send it from one address to another around the world. I mean, amazing use case. And it just differs from gold in that scenario. So because of that, I think Bitcoin's going to maintain some sort of value from a utility, you know, I hate to say store of value, but it's kind of a nice secondary, assets that you can keep apart from the broader system, right? If there is a rush to an alternative currency outside of the dollar or outside of fiats, then I expect that. But my biggest reason for why I think we're going to see price go higher here over the longer term is because of the pure supply demand fundamentals, right? There's, you know, Bitcoin has proven its longevity here, even though it's only 10 years old, it's just come a long way. It's a household name now. And if people want more of it, there's going to be less supply. I mean, you think about 21 million Bitcoin, even if everybody wanted to buy one Bitcoin, they couldn't. I mean, it's just tiny supply when you really start to put it in that context. And so it's just shaping up. And from a trading perspective, right, that's kind of more my long-term fundamental view. From a trading perspective, I zoom in way closer and I tend to look at the wiggles just like anybody would if they're trading stocks or something, right? So I capture those smaller percentage moves from a trading perspective. So it's a whole different mindset, right? I may be long from a long-term perspective, but I may be short near-term in capitalizing on the pullbacks.
Node, what are your thoughts on different cryptos in this environment? You know, this is going to be a stress test for the entire sector. Yeah. Obviously, Bitcoin is the gold standard. And, you know, as you pointed out, you know, we saw gold do its thing and respond strongly in this environment. But silver has that industrial component. And to the degree that, you know, some of these other altcoins are more speculative, have even less of a infrastructure than silver, much less. I mean, what are your thoughts on some of these different ones? I mean, any ones that stand out in particular that you like? Yeah, some thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, that's a great question because, you know, the last time we spoke was in 2017. And, you know, that was at the height of the ICO boom, right? The industry has become much wiser and smarter since then. At the time, you know, there was this Ethereum had just really taken off, and there was an influx of ERC-20 tokens which run on the Ethereum blockchain. There was other platform tokens being created, things like NEO and, you know, there's, you know, Tron and all these other things. At the time, there was still a lot of speculation, right? We had no intrinsic value for any of these things. It was just pure speculative value driving it. And we saw some outrageous valuations. I mean, things like Cardano were worth $32 billion at the peak and just really crazy when you think about it. But now, fast forward a few years, we've had a bear market, things have been washed out. And I think a lot of the investors are wiser now. And I view most of those altcoins as startups, right? I mean, some of them are going to make it, some of them are not, most are not. In my opinion, most of them are still overvalued. There's a lot of them that have really come down, but there's still a lot of them that, you know, when you look at the valuations, you're thinking, why? I mean, what really is the intrinsic value? There's not really strong network effect there. There's not, you know, any, you know, amazing revolutionary technology. A lot of it is just kind of derivatives of what's being done other places, right? It's like, oh, we're going to be the Ethereum of blah, 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 right? Just like when we saw the app market exploding and everybody was like, we're going to be the Uber of dog food, right? It's similar to the alt space. So for a while there, it was just kind of a derivative of a derivative. But I think the stalwarts are going to still be the big names that are out there right now, those that have remained prevalent, those that have maintained their, you know, the top 10 names, if you will. And that includes things like, you know, obviously Bitcoin, Ethereum, you know, people, it's kind of a split camp. They love it or they hate it. I think it's going to stick around for a while. I don't see it going away. And those type of names, right? There's some debate around, you know, will things like Litecoin be around? What's the use case? Is that the silver to the gold? You know, is it going to really serve as its purpose as a currency? I don't think so. But from a trading, a speculative instrument, I think it'll be around. But the thing with investing versus trading, honestly, if I had to pick anything to hold on to for the long term, meaning if you said buy something today and you can't sell it for 5 years, it'd probably just be Bitcoin, to be honest. Maybe Ethereum, but most every other name, they're just too speculative, right? I'm not convinced of a long term use case. Even some of the other platform names like EOS, right? They're trying to be a huge competitor. They have some potential, but there's also some huge risks. There's a lot of kind of centralized holding of the tokens within the founders. And there's just a lot of that makes me you know, a little bit more hesitant to go all in on any one project. There's a lot of really cool projects out there. You look at something like Decentraland, the ticker is MANA, M-A-N-A, and it's a virtual, you know, VR world, and there's games, and it has its own, you know, cryptocurrency for the economy, and just kind of really cool things. There's things like, you know, the tokenization of intangible assets like art or, you know, skins for a video game, and you know, they call them the NFTs, the non-fungible tokens, where it's really interesting to see that technology being put to use in creative ways where you have these digital artifacts, which traditionally you could just copy and paste, but now they're tokenized, they're on the blockchain. So you truly can have a one-of-a-kind type of thing on the blockchain. And so those projects are really cool, but does that translate into the token that it represents? Is it going to explode in value? Not necessarily, right? That's just not always the case.
Right. Well, you know, and something interesting you pointed out is Litecoin. Litecoin was my first investment in the crypto space. Nice. Years and years ago, back when it was like 5 cents. Now, I didn't completely capitalize on its epic move, but I did make, you know, epic, great money on it. And it was the silver to Bitcoin's gold. It was a different environment at the time. It had that leveraged exposure, but you look at it now, it underperforms Bitcoin on the moves. It's like, why own Litecoin anymore? It really, it really begs the question as to why it exists.
Yeah. And that's a good point, right? At the time, it was a different environment, right? There wasn't this thousands of cryptos listed anywhere, right? It was Litecoin, Bitcoin, a handful of names which are gone now, things like Feathercoin and Namecoin. But Litecoin, you know, had this protocol, it's going to be, you know, four times as much quantity and all that. And so it had a purpose, but then, yeah, you fast forward a few years and the technology has evolved. It's been improved upon. Now it's not just, you know, cryptos initially was just kind of this currency alternative, but it's much different now. It's not just that anymore. Now it's like, well, it's a currency, but it's also a platform and you can run dApps, decentralized apps on there. You can store information, you know, right? It's much more dynamic. And so those old cryptos that haven't really evolved, save for Bitcoin, they're, you know, you look at them and it's going, what really is the purpose, right? What's really the use case? Long-term, it makes you wonder, you know, how much they will continue to inflate, but I don't think it'll go away, but to some extent, yeah, I mean, it just kind of tracks the Bitcoin. If Bitcoin hits 100,000, I think Litecoin will go up, but the question is always, should you have just held Bitcoin or should you hold Litecoin for outperformance? And that's really where the trading comes in. Much like when you're trading Forex, you know, you can look at like the dollar euro pair or the dollar yen pair. I trade two primary pairs. I trade, you know, altcoin to dollars and altcoin to BTC. And so I'm always looking at both charts and I'm looking at, is the altcoin outperforming Bitcoin? And if the answer is no, then I'm just going to stick with Bitcoin.
Good words right there. All right, Node, share with us some closing thoughts here regarding investments, mindset, and you know, kind of where to position ourselves, you know, mentally and, you know, in general going forward here as we go through the rest of 2020 into this overused term of new normal.
Yeah. So one thing I want to point out is I know a lot of your listeners are coming in from different industries, right? You may have some gold bugs, you may have kind of the more economically focused, and they may not fully like crypto or understand it. And one of the big misconceptions that are still out there, which I just got a call last week from a friend saying, hey, I wanna buy some Bitcoin. One of the big misconceptions out there is that you have to buy one whole Bitcoin's worth of value. And it still surprises me that people, you know, see that because they see the price. Hey, how much is a Bitcoin? And it's like, okay, it's $8,800. Oh, I don't want to spend that much on a Bitcoin. And so just keep that in mind, right? Bitcoin is fractionalized. You can literally go buy $5 worth if you wanted to. And so it's just like an alternative currency. You can literally put however much you want into it. You don't need to go buy $8,000 worth of Bitcoin if you don't want to get started. But if you want some exposure, you know, then start small, right? Just spend $100 on it. Get a feel for it, see how it works, all that stuff. I'd highly recommend. And the other thing is too, is it's very easy to get caught up in this space. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of misconceptions out there. And it's easy for people to say, oh my God, like it's going to be the next XRP. It's going to go from 3 cents to a dollar, and I'm going to be this millionaire overnight. In my opinion, the easy money's been made already. You know, we've gone from $100 Bitcoin to $1,000 Bitcoin to $20,000 Bitcoin. But I still think there's opportunity, no doubt. I mean, are we going to go from 9,000, 10,000 Bitcoin to 20? I think so. Are we going to go to 100,000? Maybe. We're going to go to a million. Okay, don't get your hopes up that high. But, you know, certainly I think there's some opportunity. So just some tips for people kind of getting started. In terms of where I see the rest of 2020 going, I think people need to buckle down, right? This has been a huge wake-up call for everybody. I mean, every industry was on, you know, went, was touched. And people need to realize, like, whoa, like we've been drinking out of the debt-fueled Kool-Aid for a long time. And perhaps finally those chickens are coming home to roost, and we need to be prepared for that scenario, right? So, I mean, what does that really mean? Does that mean 30% unemployment sustained for a while? Does that mean, you know, inflation? Does that mean deflation, right? And so it would be wise for people to kind of take this as a wake-up call. If things get back to normal, use that as an opportunity, right? Pay off those debts. Maybe put a little bit of aside. Have some in reserve, whether it's gold or BTC, something you can fall back on if you need it. I mean, you just got to wise up. I think the notion of the Fed's going to save us, everything's going to be fine, the government's going to bail us out, that's only going to last for so long before there's a massive shift. And it won't be pretty when it happens.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what is so interesting about this is that everything is just being delayed. It happens so quick. This depression is happening so fast. And this Band-Aid was, you know, implemented so quickly with the Fed stimulus or the Fed injecting liquidity and the government stimulus. Everything's just being delayed. You know, honestly, poor people, and, you know, not to use that word disparagingly, but people, you know, that aren't making a whole lot of money, that didn't have the best jobs to begin with, they're probably feeling pretty good right now to a certain degree, you know, getting their $1,200 and then, you know, maybe they were laid off and now they're making more money on unemployment. But this just is not sustainable. The depression really hasn't hit yet. And that's what I think you're talking about. And that's why I think you believe that the stock market is due to go much lower, which I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, the only caveat to that is that we might see trillions of dollars of more go into the markets, which arguably could keep the markets up in dollar terms, but yeah. We'll leave it right there. Node Investor, everyone. Node, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today and sharing your thoughts and sharing your wisdom.
Always a pleasure. And I appreciate being here as always.